We're continuing Simin Kuf Chaf Halachiyod. We spoke about last time, which what the din is about. It's about Uman Kana B'Shvach Kli. And today we're going to get to a practical, more practical application of that din. From what the din is a little more theoretical. And what we're going to talk about particularly is pump pots and urns, and in particular a very specific part of that. And that is, we will yet talk about in the next halacha about whether these type of electrical devices require tefillah altogether. We'll get to that. That's not today's discussion. Whether they need tefillah or not, if
okay. In terms of them plug into the wall,
we're going to talk about different aspects about why they do or don't need tefillah if they're electrical appliances. But that's not for today. Today we're working with an assumption that they do need tefillah. Okay, that they need tefillah. And the problem is that if you're going to tefillah them, then that's gonna ruin the device. So we're working with that assumption, okay? We're working assuming that that's what it is. So the problem is that the people are faced is they decide that they need to do tefillah. They've been told that they need to do tefillah on this device. Yet if they do it, it's gonna get ruined. So some even came up with a patent. They came up with an idea. They figured out we're gonna solve this problem. And the solution is that we're gonna build these urns particularly for Jewish people, and it'll have certain needs that are anyhow good for them, and we'll see about that in a second, certain things that are good for them, but in particular what we're going to do is, a Jewish person, the distributor, is going to own those urns from the very time they're created, and since he owns them from when they were created, they won't be chiv and tefillah. It will be owned by Yid from beginning to end, so you only have to tell a kli that was owned once by someone who is not Jewish. If they'll own it from the very beginning, then there won't be a chiv and tefillah from the way back from the beginning, and everything will be wonderful, and you won't have to do it. Okay, and we're gonna that's a good idea to help people solve this problem. We're gonna talk about a bunch of the quirks and the difficulties or the questions on how to do that. Give me a second. I'm just gonna explain to you the difference between we're gonna keep talking about pump pots or urns for our purposes. They're basically the same. Just a second to describe them. Both of them are devices that you have these big pots that sit there that keep water hot all the time. Close to boiling temperature. And the difference between them is, they're heated by an electric coil that keeps the water hot. The difference between them is, in what we call an urn, is one that the opening is on the bottom, and you just open the spout, and the liquid just flows out by gravity. That's what we call an urn, just like more traditional. And what we call a pump pot means that the water comes out of the top of it. Okay, and the way it comes out of the top is either by you physically pushing on a pump to get the water out, or you push a button and that turns on an electric pump that gets the water out. Okay, the water doesn't flow out of the tap by itself. You got to do something to it. So we call that a pump pot. Okay, for our purposes for today, there's almost no difference. Almost no difference for today's discussion. Okay, two things that we're not going to talk about. Before I get to what I am, two things we're not talking about are there's a Shabbos question about this is an indicator tube. The tube that sits, that shows you how much water is in the pump pot. And I'm sorry, they don't have a real one. For now, you won't see the... This is the outside of the pump pot. What it looks like from the outside, there's a tube running through here. And this tube tells you how much water is on the inside. Okay, and the same thing on the urns also. There's a pipe in here that has water in it.
You know that tube then?
This is the tube, yeah, but it's hard to visualize where it is when you're looking at it over there. But there's a tube inside of here. And when you look at that, you can tell how much water is in there. So there's a question whether, on Shabbos, whether you take water out, if that water is made in that mavushal. So that's not for today's discussion. And then there's, of course, a question about Yom Tov, if you could add cold water to these things on Yom Tov. We've talked about it once before, and that's not a Teal's Kalim question. But that's why we have such beautiful samples here, but that's not a Teal's question. Okay. So the first thing is like this. The reason why we're talking about this now in Halacha Yud is because of last time's discussion. Last time we spoke about what the Mechaber talks about is Uman Kana B'Shvach Kli. And so that brings up, that's the question that we have that connects these urns to our din, and that is the following. The Yid owns the materials. We're going to talk about how in a second, but the Yid owns all the materials, and he goes to China and he says, guys, please make me 1,000 urns. Okay? He owns all the materials, and he has to make the urns. Well, the Ramah said that we're machmir to say Uman Kana B'Shvach Kli, and if so, that means I deliver all the metal to the Chinese plant, and I say, please make me 1,000 urns, and then the Uman goes ahead and creates the urn. Okay, so the Mechaber said, we're not choshesh for umukhani b'shvachli. Okay, so if you're a Sephardi, you're safe. Okay, but if you're Ashkenazi, the Ramah said we should be machmir for umukhani b'shvachli. So what are we going to gain by having a Yid own the material beforehand? It's not a Yid who's making it. It's being made in this factory. Okay, and we should say, similar.
It's not about kavlanos over here.
So the simple answer, as we said last time, is that the din of umun kanim shakli is connected to an umun, but if a person has salaried employees and he pays them by the hour, we spoke about that last time, that that's not an example of umun kanim shakli. And the mela, it's okay. One of the places even on its package, it says, and don't worry about, I don't know exactly the words are, but don't worry about umkani shaykhli, because I am Igris Moshe in this place, where he says not to worry about that. Okay? Or he has some kind of a wording to that effect, that since they're not, since they're paying them by the hour, hourly employees are not a problem. Okay, now, there's two questions that we could raise about that. Okay? And that is like this. First of all, we spoke about last time that the Chacham Sofen says that if you have things made in a huta, then there is a problem of umukhani b'shvachli. Okay, the huta is where you make, in his case it was glass or iron, the people are making devices, and we spoke about that it could be that pshat in the Chacham Sofen is that since the person makes the an employee sits down and fashions the item by himself, you might pay him by the hour, but he's really piece-by-piece work. You give him a blob, a thing of sand, and he goes ahead and he creates by hand a vase out of it, a pitcher out of it. He does all that work by hand. So although you're paying him by hand, you're paying him by the hour, he may actually be more like a uman rather than an hourly employee. He's not he may not be a assembly line kind of employee, and that, when the Chacham Sofen says that huta is considered umun kanim b'shvachli, but the huta was a factory, even it could be that was because the guy's actually an uman of what he's doing, and he taka has the dinim of umun kanim b'shvachli, but he's essentially working by the piece. He may actually even be paid by the piece. Okay, I've been in factories, not for materials, it was for food, where you would look at it and you would say these people are being paid by the hour, but it was not true. Okay, it's not true. Every time they finished one thing that they were making, they went to the front, and if the boss approved it, then they got a check on their thing and they got paid another, 5 cents for the thing that they made. Okay, they were paid by you. When you would walk in, you'd say these people are being paid by the hour, but it wasn't true. They were paid by the success each time they created something. So it may, depending on how the place is set up, it may well be that the people are takum. Okay, but, and I'm not sure. It all depends on the situation. Okay, but there's another complication, and that is like this. All the cases the person talk about when they say that if you have people you pay by the hour, you see it's not umukhani b'shvachli, that's talking about, all the cases are like this. A Yid owns a factory. He owns all the materials. And now he brings in a bunch of people who are not Jewish to work in the factory. We say, no, those people are paid by the hour. There's no umukhani b'shvachli. Over here, the difference is that the Yid doesn't own the factory. What's going on is the Yid is handing someone, a Chinese person, here's all my materials, and please give me back a thousand urns when you're finished. So there may not be a specific employee who we would say is he's the umun kanim b'shvachli. The five guys who work in the plant may not be the umun kanim b'shvachli, but really the owner of the factory is doing that. Umun kanim b'shvachli means this: if I take your raw materials and I make something out of it, I take an ownership of those things. So the hourly employee maybe doesn't. What about the owner? Okay, this is different than all the cases. The place we're all talking about, the guy who owns the factory is the Yid himself. So if you say the overall factory has made this thing and they take ownership, good, that's me. I own the factory. I own the materials. I own the factory. Those guys, yeah, they're just hourly employees. But over here, the Jew owns the materials. It's the guy who owns the factory. I hand him my materials. He gives me back the urns. So the collective him is made in umun kanim b'shvachli. Okay, so... To make things even more complicated, the way the setup usually works in these places is like this. The Yid comes in and hands in the materials, we'll call it. He hands in the materials, and he doesn't pay for the urns, the full price. In other words, how should I say that? The not-Jewish person orders the materials. Let's say the raw materials cost 20% of the price. The Yid hands him that 20% up front. That's like his upfront payment. I paid you for the materials. The other 80% he pays when the devices are finished. So the owner of the factory really was kind of b'shvachli. you gave him the 20% materials, and you said to him, okay, when you give me the rest of it, when you create something out of it, when you make this into an urn, then I'll pay you the other 80%. So doesn't that sound like Umun kind of B'Shach? Like the Umun is being paid 80% for what he did. He doesn't get paid by the hour. He gets paid by the device. The owner of the factory gets paid when you deliver me 1,000, I'll give you the other 80% that I owe you. Okay? So, it's not clear to me that this is exactly the case with the Umun kind of B'Shach. So I'm not sure about that. The saving thing over here is that we mentioned at the end last time, Chazanish says that if the civil law doesn't recognize Umun kind of B'Shach Kli, then you don't have to worry about it. The din doesn't care about it either. We mentioned that last time. Chazanish says that if the civil law doesn't see that, then we don't care about it either. I have no idea what the civil law is. I suspect that the civil law doesn't look at Umun kind of B'Shach Kli, but I don't really know. Okay.
Is that legally they don't maintain ownership?
I don't know what the rule is. If I give you materials and then you work with it, who owns the shvach of that kli? Who owns the improvement that you make to the kli? Does the factory owner? Does the person owner? I don't know what the legal, how civilly, how that's looked at. Is there such a concept that umun kanim shvach kli or not? Okay. So now we move to some other ways. Assuming we get past this and we don't worry about umun kanim shvach kli, how's this going to work? Okay, so the first thing is that as I just said a second ago, the Jewish person, the distributor, he doesn't come ahead and bring in piles of raw materials. Okay, he doesn't do anything. The factory buys the raw materials, and then the distributor, the Jewish person, says he buys those materials from the guy. The guy who starts off with mamash with sheets of metal and all the pieces, things that he needs, and then this person buys from him. Okay, so in order for him to get it, he has to make a kinyan. In order for him to say, okay, it's mine, he has to make a kinyan. Okay, well, what kinyan is he supposed to make? So the normal din is, when you want to buy metaltolin from a guy, when a yid and a guy want to make a transaction of metaltolin, things that are movable, then the din is, we do ma'is and mashicha. Okay, it's a machlokes and the gemara, and a machlokes have a paskin. Which one is kind of ma'is and mashicha? We do both of them. Okay, if a mashiach comes to the production, then that's okay. And that's, in fact, what one of the hashgachas do. They send the mashiach there to do this. The mashiach does the kinyan ma'is. He hands the money to the owner of the factory, and he does mashiach. He puts it onto a forklift, and he lifts it up, and he does mashiach. Okay, or hagbah, whichever one you want to call it. Okay, so he does the kinyan like he's supposed to do. Okay, but and that's fine. If you do that, then it's fine. And as we're going to see through the different things I'm going to mention, a big difference between some hashgachas and other is whether they send the mashgiach to the production. Okay, so if you send the mashgiach to the production, you have an easy way to make a kinyan. The mashgiach will take care of it. That would be part of his job. He'll give the money over, and he'll do mashicha or hagbah. But there are other places that don't have a mashgiach. Okay, they don't have anybody doing it, and they do it remotely. Okay, so how do you acquire the raw materials sitting in the factory in China? Okay, so there are those who say that they're going to do Kenyan Mars. Okay, I don't think that's great. Those are going to help us right now. My understanding is that there's some cipher that to just wire money to somebody is not going to be a Kenyan Mois.
Kenyan Mois, that is
bad. But, I mentioned, there's Machlokes whether you do Mois or Mashiach. To try to do at least Mois, they tried to wire, okay? To the people who are not going to actually have somebody there, that I don't believe that works. The other Kenyan that work for a guy, Sudar and Aga, okay, Sudar needs a person to actually do it. You have to do the kinyan, the chalipin together. And kinyan aga would mean that you have to make a kinyan on land now, as you want to be kind of the things. That's also going to need a person. You're going to need to interact with the person to do that. The yid and the guy are going to have to be there together to do that.
Wait, can you use money to, like, a kinyan chatzah?
You could use, not the chatzah, yeah. Come to chatzah a second. Kinyan aga would mean is, I have to be kinda the land now, and then I got on kinda stuff other than metaltolin. That's okay. I'll get that in a second. Okay. Now, so what most people do is, I'm sorry, most people. The people who don't send the mashgiach, what they'll do is they say we're going to do two kinyan. Okay. The son of Chotzer and Situmto, Dina Machusa. Okay. What does it mean?
To help the Situmto, one gets in Israel, one gets in China.
I'm going to get that. I'm coming to that. Okay, it's a good question. So the to do Kenyan Chotzer, they write up a shtar. They write up a shtar that the Yid now owns a piece of land in the factory. They hopefully did that Kenyan shtar when they were talking to each other, which that happens, and they actually see each other, and they make the case. Now he owns, the Yid owns a piece of land in the factory, and you know they mark it off with a piece of tape. Right? They put the Yid owns a piece of land in the Goy's factory. He owns a piece of land there, and now the Goy. What?
Does that have to mark it?
Just makes them feel good, and then they put the Yid's materials into that area that they've designated. This belongs to the Jew, and then when they put it into there, they say, okay, now you're cutting with Kenya Chutzner.
We can say wherever it is.
No, it can't keep moving around. I mean, I bought a piece of land from you, so which piece did I buy from you?
Wherever that
metropolitan
is.
No. Stop. They're not making the Kenyan every time they make more urns. They're saying, I'm taking a piece of land in your I'm buying...
Why not just each production?
How are you going to make the Kenyan? How will you make it? You have to give a star. Yeah. Okay? How are you going to give the star if you're not facing the guy?
You can't sign a contract by mail.
Can you send it by mail? Maybe. Okay. Maybe that could work. And you can keep on. So each time.
Sorry,
each time. Okay. That's not what they do. They make a Kenyan on the star. On the moment, okay, this is my piece of land. Over here, this area, this room, or this area is mine. And they put the stuff over there. Okay. So there are questions. There are questions not for today. There's questions not for today about Sirius Kanya. Okay, it's a complication over here. Sirius Kanya is questions of if he owns the land and he only rents me the piece, or if he rents the place and he pretends to sell it to me, that may not work. Okay, but let's say what. It's a question that we will talk about. It's a serious question for there whether to say how can I do schiras if the person is a really an owner. It's a question seemingly that it shouldn't work. Not for today. Okay. And the other choice is to do situmto din de malchus. That says this: if by civil law, let's say wiring money to the guy makes me the owner, if they consider that to be a Kenyan, then that's good. Then that only works. It may only work with the Rabbanan. It's assumed, Mishmur brings, that's assumed that even if it only works from the Rabbanan, it's good enough for Chiv Daraisa, there it's Chametz, and here it's Petrius Kalem, so it will be good enough, okay? But in order to say that, someone needs to know what the Situmta is, okay? Just because in the United States, I think that it's, if I wire the guy money, now it belongs to me. I'm not sure if that's even true, but if let's even say if I think that if I wire money to the person, or if I sign a note that I own it, you have to know if that works over there. Okay, and whether it works internationally, I don't know. You have to know what you're talking about in order to do it. When you want to do Kenyan Chatzar, we know how to do Kenyan Chatzar. Kenyan Situmta depends on what's the common way that merchants deal with things, and what's the, or the deal in the Mahusa. Okay, so you need to know. Okay, you need to know, as I mentioned before, you need to understand between different places what the Kenyan are. Okay. Next part. Okay, so we figured out how to make a Kenyan. Let's say we have a Mashgiach there, and he does the Kenyan, the easy Kenyan, Moris HaMashiach. Okay, or we figured out some other way to make a Kenyan. Okay, the next question is, what items is the Yid supposed to make the Kenyan on? Okay, we're saying the Yid's going to be kind of the raw materials. So, there are Hashgachas, I believe, where the Yid does a Kenyan on everything. Okay, he says, this is all the things that it takes to make my urn. Is a 50 parts to make my urn, put them all into my place, and put them all into my forklift, and I make my Kenyan and it's all mine. Okay, that's not what everybody does. Okay, all the people say is, listen, Chiyav Tefillah is only on clay suda, only on the metal items, metal or glass items that have food contact, so that you make a Kenyan on. Okay, so I'm going to show it to you in this one. This is a pampad. Okay, so in the this is the outside of, I don't know if it's of this one, but it would be the outside of a pump pot like this. This is the shiny part that you see on the outside. Okay, this doesn't touch the food. Okay? But this metal canister over here, this one over here, is what on the inside is what touches the water. So this metal canister is really one piece of metal that's just wrapped around and like welded, or however it's connected back to itself. So this comes in long rolls of sheets of metal, or whatever kind of metal it is, and they say, that's what I have to make the Kenyan on. This is the part that has the food contact, this is what touches the food, this is the metal part that touches the food, that's what I have to make the Kenyan on. Okay? The question is like this. What happens if you have a kli that's made of, in Shulchan Aruch's case, metal and wood? Okay, so metal needs tefillah, and wood doesn't need tefillah. Okay? So what's the din if it's made of two materials? So, assuming that the metal part of it is chayav in tefillah, this is not important for us, what those details were, we did that. then the wood also needs tefillah. You don't just tefillah the metal part of it, you have to tefillah the wood part of it also. Even though the wood is, the etzim wood is not chayiv in tefillah, but since it's part of a kli that needs tefillah, so then the wood needs tefillah also. Okay, so over here we have a question. The metal, this canister over here, is the part that makes this whole thing chayiv in tefillah. Okay, but maybe if this part is chayiv in tefillah, what about all the rest of these parts? I mean, look at all these other parts that are sitting here. Look, the easiest one, this tube over here. Okay, this is the tube that the water flows from the bottom, up the pump, out to come out to give you the water. Okay, this plastic tube that's over here. Is that good chayiv in tefillah? The plastic is not chayiv in tefillah, but when plastic is part of a metal kli, the plastic is chayiv in tefillah. Okay? So that's the question over here. Here it's a funny situation because the metal kli got out of tefillah because you owned it. But Be'etzim, this is a kli that should need tefillah. So I'm not trying to judge that. So we say here is the metal kli needs tefillah. Okay, we sort of, you know, we skirted that by having the yid own it, and then so the plastic still is chayiv because it's part of a bigger kli. We say no. Not shutfis. No, shutfis is not pater kli. No, shutfis when you're a shutfis with a guy, you're pater from tefillah's kelim. If a yid buys it from you, then he's chayiv in tefillah's kelim. So the shayla here is not to use it in the factory. The shayla is you individual Jew bought it from the store. If you bought it from shutfim, you're chayiv in tefillah's kelim. So to say that they were shutfim in the factory is not going to help you.
Even though
the yid has to own it from the beginning.
Yes, on everything, the entire thing.
He has to own the whole kli. If they're shutfim, and then the yid buys it from the shutfim, then the yid is chayiv in tefillah's kelim. Right, but if it went from a place that a guy had a partial ownership to now a state where it's completely owned by a Jew, it's chayiv in tefillah's kelim.
Even if
it's a little step from the complete owned by a Jew. Yes, it's going to be in the next halacha. It's the next halacha. It's exactly like it slowly passed over to a Jew. It's still chayiv in tefillah's kelim. So the question, but the question
is, that tube isn't really necessary for the actual cooking of the water?
It's only necessary if you want to drink.
No, I'm saying you can only open the top.
You're not going to do anything. You ain't going to get any water out of it if you don't.
Open the top and pour it out. So it's an easier way to get the thing out. It's not like this is.
That's a really creative way to get your water out of it. But that's how the cleat functions. It's like saying, I don't know, it's like. But the functionality of the cleat has to have that. Okay, we're going to actually talk about that. Not this time. When we talk about the curings, that there are extra reasons to think that all the parts, forget about even the metal tube, even this other part, all this chaser right down here, there's all this stuff down here, should maybe also be cool. We'll talk about that when we get to the curings, how that's going to fit in here. Okay, but the simple part is the tube.
But I don't make it
it's wrapped around into a tube, I mean, it's like a cylinder, like it is now. There's nothing. I mean, there's a hole in the bottom of it. I mean, there's a hole where the water pours out of it. That's attached to plastic and all these pieces together. Okay, so it's a question, but the way Levy said it, which is correct, which is, on the one hand, there's nothing here that's chayiv in tefillah. The metal is not chayiv in tefillah because it was owned by a Jew, and the plastic is plastic. But on the other hand, if you look at the whole kli together, plastic is part of a kli that should be chayiv in tefillah, so I'm not trying to judge it either. So the people who take the lenient approach, I'm not sure which rabbinic gardens, the people who take the lenient way of looking at it say, if the metal belongs to the yid, I'm okay, but I don't care about the plastic parts. Okay? Now, there's another part, which is, you have to, even if you want to do that, you have to be a little bit intelligent, which is, for example, on the urns, because that urn is upside down. I don't know if it would stand up. Okay, in this urn, it's missing its outside pipe, the pipe that lets the water out of, there's the indicators over here. On this urn, the way the water comes out is a spout. Okay, there's a spout here, and you open the spout, and the water pours out. Okay? Well, the spout looks like it's plastic, but if you look at the other side, it's really not. Okay? It's really a metal pipe on the inside. Okay? If you think about it, it makes sense. You're going to put hot water through, it's a metal pipe. So, if you want to say, I'm going to make sure that all the metal pieces the it owns, that it's, and maybe they do this, it's not enough to just own the canister on the inside. Okay, this is a metal pipe on the inside. This is a plastic looking spout, but it's really a metal pipe on the inside. Okay. You want to see? Okay. Something to play with, you know? Like a fidget spinner. This is an old fashioned fidget spinner. Okay, the next thing is, let's say we figured out we got all this far. Okay? The next part is, this is like, so to speak, our business, which is oversight. Okay? If you have a mashgiach standing there for the whole production, he sits there from the beginning to end, you're good. And you know what they're making, you know you made your kinyanim, you know you got the ones that you did what you're supposed to do. But what happens if you do it remotely? Either the mashgiach comes just at the beginning to make the kinyanim, or they just totally remotely. There are places that do it without any oversight at all. They just, oh yeah, next Tuesday we're going to start making your pots. It's going to take 3 weeks, and they do their thing. Okay, but there's nobody there. Okay, so who's going to make sure that they actually made those kinyanim? You said we're going to put the metal into your chutzner. You know, we marked off that area, and we're going to put it into there. Okay. Who said they're going to do that? Okay, guess what? If that's what they did put into there, they show them a picture, we put the stuff into there. Who said that the metal they put into there is what they used to make the pots, the urns? They make urns every day of the week. So, to make you happy, they put metal down in your thing, and then they go ahead and make urns. Okay, let's say they even took your metal, put it into the place, and then you had a kinyan, and then they went ahead and they made the urns out of it. Okay, who said that those ended up in your boxes? Okay, and the whole thing, this is a place, that's all they do, is they make urns and compots. Everybody gets it maybe a little different, but basically that's what they do all day long. That's what they do. So who's someone seemingly needs to watch out for it. So some people are happy with just paperwork, and some people want a mashgiach there. And as you can imagine, there's a big difference. There's more than one person who's doing this. And there's different ways that they are successful or less successful in oversight. That's because when you look for these things, then you find it. You know, most people never notice it. Yes, okay. Last.
Couldn't it be like special, just metal which has like a mark on the outside or something?
You could just put a mashgiach there. You could just put the mashgiach there, you know? Okay, but I'm not sure what actually you would work, because the metal, I assume, comes in long sheets, and someone cuts it out to size. So we can't have stamps every 6 inches that say, you know, okay, maybe. Okay, but
we have rolls in the mashgiach, what's the rolls going into the mashgiach?
Okay, maybe. Now, our last issue to talk about is what I call distribution. Okay, that means to say it's like this. We figured out all the problems, and the boxes are all exactly what we made, and they belong to a yid, and there was no problems, and doesn't need tefillah. Okay. What happens when it leaves the factory? It's really going to be in the next thing, which is, if I own a kli, and I was title of a kli, so it's not chayav and tefillah's kelim anymore, I was title of it, and now I sell it to someone who's not Jewish, and I buy it back an hour later. The din is, it's chayav and tefillah's kelim again. Even though it was originally owned by a yid, or in this case, the yid titled it, already. If I sell it to somebody who's not Jewish at all, and then I get it back, and then I get it, or another yid gets it back from him, it's chayav and tefillah's kelim again. So this whole idea only works assuming it stays in Jewish ownership from beginning to end. But what happens, as we saw, if you could buy these if you buy them in Bed Bath and Beyond, or in Sears, or eBay? Okay, which is to say, is what happened? Mr. Bed Bath and Beyond bought some from the manufacturer, the distributor. He said, "I want 50 pieces." They sent him 50 urns, and now he's selling them. Okay, well, that's not
a clear schar by them.
It's a clear schar by them. I don't know if that's going to get us off the hook. I think that's actually going to come in the next thing. That even if he held it not as a kli, if I remember correctly, it's coming the next thing. Even so, it still becomes having tefillah's kelim when I buy from him.
Even if it's a corporate entity, which isn't really.
Yeah, that's not going to save the day yet. That's not going to do the trick. So in fact, one of the people gives hashgacha has written on his package. I might not get the words exactly right. Something to the effect of "Ein tzarach tefila kol zman shenish b'bayis yehudi." Okay, this doesn't need tefila as long as a yid owned it all the way. Okay, now of course, not only does nobody read all the little letters or know what all that Hebrew means, but they have no idea if the store of the barn from is owned by Yidden.
Okay. So it makes it sound like as long as it's brought into a Jewish house, it's okay.
It means whatever you want to mean. It doesn't, you know, it's a. I once, when I was buying these, I was in a store that is known to be owned by Yidden, and I was about to buy one of them, and I called up somebody and said, tell me I'm buying it from this store that I know is Jewish owned, but I know that they have partners also. Could you find out for me whether the partners are Jewish or not Jewish? Okay? And it turned out that they looked into it, and it turned out that all the partners are Jewish in this company. Okay? It so happens that all the partners are Jewish in this company. But I hadn't to find that out. Okay? If I just saw the thing, Ein Tzarach Tefila Kol Zman Shenish B'Bayis Yehudi, I don't know, does everybody know whether the store that seems very heimish is really such a Jewish store? There's a Jewish store in town that's about to become not Jewish store, you know?
Right.
And so even if it's a shutev, it's chayav tefillah as soon as I buy it from him, okay? So it might... How does any person know whether this really works? Okay, now, there's a little bit of a hope over here. There's a tshuva Ramosha. Most people don't hold like that, but there's a tshuva Ramosha. The Ramosha says the din that's coming next that says if the guy owned it, then the yid bought it afterwards and the chayav tefillah. And if it went from a yid to a guy back to a yid, it's chayav tefillah as kelim. Ramosha says that's only talking about Excuse me, that's only talking about if the kli was originally owned by someone who's not Jewish. At the very, very beginning, it was owned by someone who's not Jewish. Then, every time it goes to a yid, it needs its chayv and tefilas kelim. Every time it passes from not Jew to Jew, it's chayv and tefilas kelim. But if the very original owner was a yid, then Rav Moshe says, I think it doesn't need tefilas kelim. He says, but do tefilas lebracha. He says, so Rav Moshe says over there, he says, if it was originally owned by a yid, then that doesn't apply. Okay, so that would save it.
So 20 times. So the original one was a yid.
Correct. Correct.
But if it was a guy, then
correct.
You title it all the times in between.
Correct. Correct. So Rav Moshe says you should do, even so, you should do tefilas lebracha. And without a bracha, most people, I don't think, hold like Rav Moshe. But that is a saving thing over here, which is, according to Rav Moshe, since the yid owned it from the beginning, that was the whole goal here, was the yid owned it from the beginning, then it would be safe. Because even if it got sold to Sears in between, I went to look again, Sears doesn't have it on the website anymore, but they used to. Even if Sears, I don't know if they have much on the website, but if Sears, Amazon is a different, Amazon is a drop different, because on Amazon a lot of the sellers are actually the original person. Amazon is just a distributor.
It's all by Amazon.
Right, it depends. But I mean, if you walk in Bed Bath & Beyond, I mean, you're just buying it from them, you know? Anyhow, so there is a Ramosha who would be makel in, well, I used to say Tzil Fat Bracha, a little bit makel. Okay, so we went through a bunch of questions here of what it takes to possibly make these urns and pump pots not Chayv and Tzil's Kelim. A bunch of bumps in the road over here. Potentially, it could be done right, but there's got lots of questions, and there's naftaminas between one brand and the next.